The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. How do we see with the Holy Spirit? How do we see with the Holy Spirit? Plus, Johnny Hill joins us live in the studio, that's better than dead, to talk about kingdom stuff, especially faith. And finally, here it is, don't take the blue pill, which is the bitter pill, and go backwards.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. Now, folks, I know it's a phone, and I know those are numbers. I know that. But the phone will not move you into a new dimension, and the numbers will not make you disintegrate. 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First, we're going to start off with a little prop and acknowledgement to our good friend Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services. This is how it goes. Free evaluations if you got any problems going on and you need to have it restored. Now watch this connection. Ready? Mr. Restore, your stuff needs to be restored. Okay, Mr. Restore.com. Your stuff needs to be restored. See how that works right there? Advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. They're BBB. They're A-plus rated with the BBB. Boy, I did that backwards. 50 years of restoration experience and thousands of happy customers. You can reach them directly by phone at 877-631-7576. That's 877-631-7576. You can also reach them through MrRestore.com as well as HeMustIncrease.org. So there's a couple of different ways. I'm going to be reaching out to Clint. Let's see. It's my grandson's birthday today, so I'm not going to do it today. And tomorrow I got a lot of this pre-PhD stuff to do. So next week I'm going to be reaching out to him to have him do another phone interview, and then we'll also get a chance to talk about the Adaptive Training Foundation, that the group that's helping people with 1, 2, 3, or 4 severed limbs find hope, find life, and find drive. We just want to give a big thank you to Clint and to Mr. Restore for being a part of our show. All right. Hi, Johnny. How you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. And you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing mostly well. I found out that this weekend, and I'm going to make a comment to Wonder Julie about this, I have to cut the yard.
Oh, it's time again.
I knew you were going to laugh.
I feel so bad for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. So just get that mower thing out. Now, I probably won't do the whole I'm going to have to work my way into this. It's just that there's no way to do it. So I'll probably do the front part and then do the other like half of the backyard and then half of the other backyard.
No guarantees.
Okay.
No guarantees.
But what?
Brother Ladrill.
Yeah.
Who was on the show.
Yeah.
Said that he might have a self-propelled mower for you.
Well, tell him to move that word from Mike. Thank you so much, Wonder Julie. Move that from might to has. Let's get that done because this week I got to start. Noelle goes, you see that thing in the backyard? I go, what? She goes, that jungle? I'm like, okay.
One time we had overgrown in our backyard and my dad brought home a goat.
Wow. That's extreme.
He borrowed a goat named Billy.
Did it work?
That is genius. That is a great way. What a great. Was that because he wanted to feed the goat? Was he making a hint? What was he doing?
He just thought the goat could knock it down.
That
it was
is
getting pretty
classic.
High.
Oh, my goodness wow. gracious. That's funny. All right. Let's cover a couple of things, and we'll get to the teach. By the way, Johnny, you doing good? Things are well? Yes, for you?
Yes, doing great, brother. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. Did anybody know what the holidays are? There's not a lot of holidays today.
I do not.
All right. Any idea?
I'm afraid not.
All right. First one is name tag day. Yeah. Mm. Right? You go to one of those seminars, you get a name tag.
Right.
And you know that most people put them on the wrong place because you're supposed to put them on a certain section of your body so when you right. shake hands, it doesn't get covered up and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, some people don't even know.
And some
science.
People put the wrong name on there on purpose because they're funny.
I don't think being Dr. Fudd is bad. Okay. Anyway.
You say that from experience?
Yeah. No. It's also National Cheese Doodle Day.
Mm.
Come on. It's got to be. It's good for a joke somewhere. Wait till I tell you this one thing. So there's these couple of things that happened in history, but the one thing I will say could be the single greatest thing that I've mentioned in regards to something that happened on a day. First and foremost, 1872, the air brake is patented by George Westinghouse. If you don't know what the air brake is, you just need to watch a Bugs Bunny cartoon. You get it? Because he falls and he goes, air brakes.
Oh, I thought they were like on an 18-wheeler.
Yeah, probably. But I just know it from the cartoon. I know it from the cartoon. I have to use my sources, folks. Elvis Presley on this day in 1960 got out of the Army. So.
Cool.
That's interesting. 1979, Voyager 1 made its closest approach to Jupiter, scant 172,000 miles away.
Wow, that was close.
Like, really? That's important? And this right here, 1989. I got you. I got it right here. And you can tell me whether you agree or not. This is superb. Killer spared the electric chair, killed by an electric toilet.
Wow.
Michael Anderson Godwin, a convicted killer, once sentenced to the electric chair, accidentally electrocutes himself to death while sitting on a metal toilet repairing a set of earphones. Sentenced to the electric chair for murder, Godwin got his sentence overturned on appeal. He was spared the electric chair only to die on an electric toilet.
Karma don't need my help.
I mean, you got to be kidding, right? Is that not like at the top? That's pretty good. That looks pretty good. Come on. See, what a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Wow.
In his case, let's just flush that story away. All right, so let's go into our next teaching.
Sounds nasty.
That was legendary. Come on. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. We're just going to take a short look at this, and then it's a very short little text, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to get into something much deeper in 1 Samuel. For those of you that are out there that are thinking, you guys have all lost your mind, yeah, you too, because you're listening as well. And then the other thing is, Jesus loves you, so it ain't that bad.
Amen.
That's my comment to you. All right, here it is. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 says the following. I think somebody's on the phone. Somebody's probably calling in going, that was a really, I hope, I can't say the slappy, but with a CR story kind of thing. All right. Acts 7, 55. Got somebody calling in.
We've got a praise report.
Okay. Oh, I love praise reports. Hold on. Let's do that before we do anything else. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Sam.
Oh, my goodness, Sam.
Brother,
I've been
Sam.
Praying for you every day for you and for your situation. Oh. What's going on, brother?
Yeah, I just want to share a praise report that God blessed me with a job, so I'm going to start on Monday.
Amen.
That is awesome, brother. Woohoo!
Yes, so thank you for praying for me.
All right, so does that mean that you're going to have to listen to the show through the podcast now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can always go through the podcast.
The audience, prayer works.
Yes, amen, prayer brother. Works, brother.
Amen.
Excellent. I'm so happy, Sam. So happy for you. Just absolutely joyful. What a great blessing, brother. That just really, really blesses my heart. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
God bless you, brother.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Prayer does work, folks. And if you have prayer requests, you're welcome to call the show. There's somebody that had a job and praying for him every day. I'm just so happy. It's like, yay!
That was quick,
that's
too.
You get to share in the kingdom, stuff like that. All right. Well, along with that, Acts chapter 7, verse 55 says this, "But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God." This is Stephen who was crucified, technically the first martyr of the New Testament church era, because John the Baptist was martyred. But the idea is that Stephen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God. What I want to talk about is that being filled with the Spirit. One of the identifying markers about being filled with the Spirit. So people will talk and some people will say, well, it exhibits this, it exhibits this. Some people think, well, it exhibits from the miraculous. Some think people think it exhibits from the characteristic and the personality trait. And so understand this. When the Holy Spirit is on you, that is much more for function and ministry. When the Holy Spirit is in you, that's much more for your character reflecting Jesus. So the Holy Spirit in you, reflecting Jesus, Holy Spirit on you, work to do, ministry to do. Look at Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, character-wise, what does he do when things are down? People, he was being stoned. And we ain't talking about Colorado and California stoned. We're talking about rocks being thrown at him. And what did he do? He gazed to heaven and he saw the glory of God. Like, hello, here it is. If you are operating in a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 talks about our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And you are filled with the Spirit. By the way, you're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, be filled. Not be, you know, not have a morsel or two. Be filled with the Spirit. Get those empty spaces filled with the Spirit. Evidence to that is for you, your ability to gaze to heaven when it all looks like, looks like kind of bad, looks kind of rough. And not only did he gaze to heaven, get this. In the midst of dying, he saw the glory of God. Oh, man.
Wow.
I just want to have a testimony like that. I could go through the whole thing, blow everything, do everything dumb, but at the end, I want to be able to say, I'm looking to heaven and I see the glory of God. I mean, that would just be phenomenal. And this was evidence of him being filled with the Spirit. And I know there's a lot of theologies out there that, you know, speaking with tongues or preaching the word boldly or having the fruit of the Spirit, or, you know, keep going, you know, do whatever. Keep studying, keep learning. Just don't miss this gem in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, that being filled with the Spirit has to do with gazing to heaven and seeing the glory of God while you're still here on earth. I mean, is that not, you have to be moved. If you are not moved by that, take your pulse. Because that is, it's incredible. He was dying, being killed. And he looked to heaven, and he saw the glory of God. Man, if you can look at a situation that's a mess, and you can see the glory of God, I promise you, you are filled with the Spirit. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough.
Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
If Jesus... Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quick reminder, if you want to, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com and get the music that our ins and outs are on for free under the Hymn Project, H-Y-M-N. Also, you can call us here as I'm getting ready to do a trivia question. So just get ready. We haven't done it yet. But it's getting ready to, getting closer, website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. It's very simple. For us to be able to stay on the radio and to do any kind of growth or any kind of anything, we need support. There's no ifs, ands, or anything about it. We need help, people to help us advance the kingdom of God and help us with the ministry. It's 100% tax deductible. You can go to hemustincrease.org and donate there. If you cannot give, there's no problem. We simply ask you to join with us in prayer so that we can be taking care of the financial obligations that we have in order to stay on the air. Even Wonder Julie would ask you to do that just because she likes having this job.
That's kind of the nicest way I could put that.
So that's my way of saying to you, help out if you can get a chance to do so. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. First, we're going to do a quick shout out. We had a wonderful show yesterday with Kimberly McQuinn. All right, so Kimberly, boy, we gotta do a fade out on that, don't we? It cuts out pretty fast, right? It goes Okay. Here's the bottom line. Kimberly has an enormous amount of experience in real estate. If you are a first-time buyer, an experienced investor, if you're doing foreclosures, if you're involved in short sales, if you have to have a house that has to go through foreclosures, doesn't matter which side of that you're on, she can help you through it and walk you through it one side or the other. You want to get in touch with her a couple of ways. Go to hemustincrease.org. Click on the link under Best Ministry Partners Ever. That's a good way to do it. Plus, you can call her at 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. And as you got, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the show yesterday. If not, it's on the podcast. But she was talking about she has a name change that took place. So her and her hubby, she has, you know, they were had prior lives, most people do. And that she has fully adopted his name. So now she's going to be going by Kimberly Ellis instead of Kimberly McQuinn. I think that's so cool. And I just, and Tony is a totally cool, cool brother. And they're just like us. They're just like all of us, you know, in this together, trying to fight and find our way and walk with the Lord. And you have answers to prayer and moments of praise and, you know, moments of despair where you turn your face to God and the Lord delivers you. And sometimes you have to wait there a little longer than you want to. But bottom line is they're like all of us. Only in this case, Kimberly happens to be an expert in real estate. 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. And she'll talk to you for free. She won't charge you anything to share with you what's going on, get an idea whether you're buying or selling. It does not matter. All right. You're almost ready. So next segment, Johnny's going to be sharing with us. How's the moving biz? The moving biz going good? I'll give you a prop on that next, on my fourth. On the fourth segment. But how's it going?
It's going, all right? Well, we've been super, 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 super busy.
Super, super, super busy? Mm-hmm. Is that like really busy?
That's pushing the edge of the envelope.
But that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But it's definitely a test. We have we had a really big move that we did, and I mentioned it to you before, and it put us to the test spiritually and physically.
Don't you like it when the Lord tests you?
Not really, no.
Okay, I'm just asking. All right, so speaking of, Donnie and I were talking, I was telling you my favorite story about garden animals. We won't say what kind yet, but garden animals that my wife had encountered. So with that, I'm going to ask this trivia question. When Moses confronted the Pharaoh, well, we usually just call him Pharaoh, but this question says the Pharaoh, what did his staff turn into when he threw it on the ground? Aha! Moses had a staff, okay? This is not the rod of correction for you parents out there thinking, I like that rod of correction. I got it. This is a staff. He had a staff. He has this engagement with Pharaoh. And to demonstrate, he takes his staff and throws it on the ground. What did it turn into? What did it become? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770 if you know the answer to that trivia question. In the meantime, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 through 7. Looks like somebody knows because we're not even going to get through it. So I'll read the text and we'll get to the person. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his height or his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Okay, let's take our trivia question. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Brother David. It's Marcus again. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Marcus? What's going on?
Huh, blessed and highly favored.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right. So the big trivia question there is Moses. So he had the staff, and he I wonder at times if he, you know, how he actually put it on the ground. I mean, because he knew what was coming.
Whenever it turns into a serpent, I mean.
That's it, right there, brother.
I'm not really
thinking
of snakes myself, but, you know, God told him to do it. He did, you know.
And you got to think, because he knew that, you just think if he maybe dropped it, like held his hand out, like at a little bit of a distance and then dropped it, or kind of tossed it like real quickly, because he probably didn't want to.
Talk about tripping out, David. I mean, I'd be tripping out, you know, in his rod. It was clearly a rod, wood. yeah. And, you know, put it down, or probably even whenever he headed it towards the ground, you know, it's probably whenever it turned to serpent. I mean, his guy's the guy of precision. He doesn't mess around, so.
Yeah, and you just got to imagine he took a step back.
Like, yeah.
Like, here we go.
But he had to grab it by the tail again. You know, growing up, I watched, who was it, Steve Irwin. And, you know, he was huge on loving those reptile animals and grabbing them by the tail and just being bold about it.
Yep.
You know, just one of those things, you know, just got to be strong and courageous, as he tells us to be.
Yep. Exactly. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent, excellent job. Thank you for answering that question. I appreciate it. All right.
Thanks for having me on.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
All right. We were laughing because it's telling the story on Noelle. She came across a snake in her backyard. Anyway, that's why we went with that trivia question. Pretty funny. All right, so let's go back to this first save of 16, 6, or 7. And the reason I want to bring this up is because we have to be careful with our eyes. And as you know, in the very first segment, I talked about seeing with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and how we see, we gaze to heaven, and we see the glory of the Lord. Now, look at this in 1 Samuel 16, 6 through 7. You'll understand that these are not unrelated. When they entered, he looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So there's a couple things I want to say about this without getting super theological. But get this, even Samuel, a fantastic, phenomenal prophet of God, even Samuel, the great prophet, from time to time, saw it the wrong way. Because he thought, oh, this is the Lord's anointed. And God's like going, no, it's not. And see, it's not abnormal. So people tend to forget that people that are powerful in the kingdom, that do wonderful things, that they're people. We're people. We all needed salvation through Jesus Christ. I mean, there ain't nobody that gets a skip. Jesus died for us all, even Samuel the prophet. And so here's Samuel the prophet, and the Lord says to him, kind of a very, I think it's kind of a cool way to phrase it. He says, don't do that. I'm different. Because in the world, we have this propensity to puff up those that are like in the media, in the spotlight, even ministers in big, with, you know, either larger congregations or large ministries, and there's all of this fame and all of this fanfare, and it's like that's dangerous. Because if you think that a person's quality is based on that level, then you'll only think that popular people are worthy of attention. I just want to point out to you that in 1936, Adolf Hitler was the most popular guy on the planet. So let's backtrack off of that, right? It's got to be the inward quality. It's got to be what's going on the inside. And God is like, I know exactly what's going on. That's why the best bet in most things that you evaluate is to come before the Lord. I mean, people do deceiving things all the time. That's just the truth. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Here's the bottom line. God knows. And that's why you want to stay close to God, because he knows. And if we're close enough, he may even tell you, no. Right? Unfortunately for some of us, we are like Steve Martin in Dead Men Wear Plaid, where he goes and he asks a picture of his foregone wife who passed away. Is this okay? Is it okay if I get remarried? Can I do this? Is that all right? And the picture pops up and starts spinning around. And he goes, no, don't do it. And then it stops and goes back in place. And he goes, just any sign at all that tells that is just like us. Like, we should probably do that better. We can do that better, okay? You can do that better, okay? See it through the Lord, okay? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Hey. Here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
So listen to this. So Jesus, in one passage, says, judge not or you'll be judged. In another passage, he says, judge ye righteous judgment. That's the King James Version. I like the ye. Judge ye righteous. So there's two different judgments going on here. One's okay, one's not okay. Okay? How does that work? Again, one is a condemnation, the other an observation, an evaluation, and a determination.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770 Christian Talk Radio right here in Texas. I'm Johnny Hill, your co-host today, here live with my good friend David Spoon. And it's always an absolute delight to hang out with my brother in Christ.
Thank you.
David, I have some incredible stuff today to talk about.
Cool.
But before we get started, remember, you can reach out to us live right here on the radio at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And if there's something heavy on your heart and you really need prayer, just pick up that phone. Don't hesitate and just call us right now. And remember, you can also reach us on the web at hemustincrease.org. Okay, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for sacrificing your son, Yeshua Jesus, on the cross that we might have life. Lord, we ask that you bless this holy word today and enable us to declare its irrefutable power. Father, let your work be done here today and let your heart be reflected in what we say. And Lord, we just pray this in your precious son's name, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk about faith and specifically how miracles are manifested as a result of our faith. Now, we covered faith before on the show, but I want to talk about it again. In fact, I did a Bible study just yesterday on faith. So you might ask, why am I covering it again? That's a good question, and thank you for asking.
Very well, Spoonish. Good job.
I've been hanging out with you too much, brother.
Yeah.
But on a serious note, the answer is this: because God impressed it upon my heart, because it's important, and finally, because we as Christians sometimes just don't get it. So let's get started. We're going to take a closer look again at faith and how it affects the manifestation of God's miracles. Now, there's 37 times in the Bible, in the gospel specifically, where Jesus performed miracles. Two-thirds of these involve some type of healing. Today, we're going to focus only on two of those because of time restraints. So the question that we want to ask is what do these two particular verses or particular stories have in common? There's a common denominator that we can see, a reoccurring theme between these two things, and we want to figure out what that is. And this is the thing that when we pray, this is the thing that we'll find that will help us in our prayer life, help us reach Jesus. There's something that we need to be doing that is demonstrated in the Word of God. And we as Christians sometimes we just miss the boat. So basically, if we look at this, there's a woman who's talked about in Mark 5:24 through 34. And she has an issue of bleeding. And I'm just going to go right to it. It says, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and who had spent all she had and was no better, but in fact grew worse. She had heard reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. Now, understand this. When she did this, she was considered an outcast because of her issue of bleeding. So this is something she had to go out of her comfort zone to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. But she did it anyway. She took a chance because of her faith. And it goes on to say, and Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone out from him, and immediately he turned around and looked at the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing all around, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the entire truth. And this is what he said to her. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, we're going to step right into Matthew 8:5 through 15. It's another story about another person in the Word of God that demonstrated a very similar type of faith. This story is about a centurion, and this verse reads, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said unto him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion," now pay attention to this, this is really important. "The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But if you speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man of authority. I have soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And I say to my servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said the most amazing thing. He said, 'Verily I say unto you, I have now not found faith like this in all of Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And Jesus said unto the centurion, 'Go thy way. It shall be done as you have believed. Your servant shall be healed.'" This is a big deal. And we have to figure out what was the common denominator? What were the two threads that connected these two different stories in the Bible? And folks, the answer is simple. It's faith. Just simple, old-fashioned faith. In Mark 5:24, the woman had the issue of bleeding. She was desperate. She was determined, though, and she wouldn't give up. And she had enough faith to believe that if she could just simply touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. She was sick for 12 years, and it didn't matter to her. She didn't consider herself worthy to even have physical contact with Jesus directly, and that didn't matter. She was an outcast, and that didn't matter. She knew this, though, that if I can just simply reach out and touch just the outer edge of his garment, she had enough faith that power would flow from his body into hers and that she would receive healing. And guess what? She did just that. She did just that. And the theme is the same. with a centurion. In fact, the centurion was not a Jewish man, yet Jesus said that he had not seen any greater faith in all of Israel. So why are these two miracles so important? Why did God think they were so powerful that they had to be emphasized? Well, here's the answer. Because they were done in pure faith. There were no strings attached. The lady who suffered the bleeding was an outcast, but nevertheless, she still had enough faith to step out and do something that no one else would do. The centurion, again, not being a Jew, he still had enough faith to know that all Jesus had to do was just speak and it was done. So I say to you, remember this. He's here for us. He's interested in us. He wants to know us. He longs to restore us. And most of all, he wants to respond to our faith by meeting us exactly where we need him. So, Lord, I just want to take the time right now to pray for everyone in the listening audience, in the studio as well, Lord. And I ask that you give us a heart of faith, Lord. Just remove the callous that's on our heart that prevents us from trusting you blindly. And just foster this desire in our heart to just place everything on the line and trust that you'll be there for us to catch us. And we just pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Excellent job. Good job on that. Good. I'm bringing that together. So there's a couple of really cool elements that people should connect between these stories. The woman who had the issue of bleeding, as you notice, so she, in the, one of the passages, it talks about that she'd spent all the money she had and she didn't get any better. So it's not like she didn't try to get better. She didn't go through every possible exercise, which is very similar to us. We try to do it. We go through everything we can come up with. We try and go all these different angles and no. And then you get to this point where, you know, only God can do it. And then she got to that point. Jesus did not, watch this, you're going to like this. Jesus did not just heal her physically, but healed her socially because he called her out and pronounced her clean.
Amen.
Now, when a rabbi calls a person out and pronounces them clean, they are socially acceptable again. And she was not socially acceptable because of her disease. Her issue of blood, her issue of bleeding kept her out of the public engagement. Jesus just changed that when he healed her and then pronounced her clean. It's just one of those cool things. Like, so he healed her physically, then he healed her socially. Like, wow. And it's like, what a great deal that was. And then with the...
Well, you also got to consider that, what about her soul?
Right. And she was saved from that faith. That faith brought that connection. And so, you know, God gave her more than she even knew she was going to get.
It's a type of faith.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, isn't it? She's kind of like, you go to the Lord and it's like, well, I got this one thing. And the Lord's going, well, I got many things for you. Mm. You have one thing you're coming to me for. I got a multiplicity to give back to you.
Amen.
It's like that's like just a great process. And then you love the centurion, the soldier. The one thing he got that I think people don't get, I mean, connecting with that, is he really understood the concept of authority.
Mm.
I mean, he got it because he had people that would respond and he would respond. And he just had absolute faith, just what Johnny said. Absolute faith that Jesus simply just had to speak it and it would be so. Most of us would like maybe four or five affirming signs,
right?
Then a few building blocks, and then perhaps a painting or something along those lines, or maybe even a commercial that says, I'm really going to do it, as opposed to just going, yes, I believe.
And oftentimes we put a time constraint on God. And we expect God to do something within a certain time frame, and when it doesn't happen, whatever faith we demonstrated prior, it's gone. We just let it fall by the waist. So we have to be persistent with our faith as they were, and it has to be a blind faith. I heard someone say once that if God asks you to jump off of a cliff, just imagine that he's gonna either teach you how to fly or catch you.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. As long as it's God.
Amen.
Don't be jumping off cliffs unless it's the Lord. Okay, I'm just saying. All right, excellent job. That was really good. It was good, simple, and pertinent to people's lives. And you need to hear, when Johnny's sharing stuff like this, he didn't review that with me. You know, we have enough confidence in each other. We trust the Jesus in each other.
Amen.
Listen, that faith, you might be lacking that very thing. I've had the Lord rebuke me, challenge me, because my faith was so weak. And the hardness of heart, Matt, I think every one of us who's more Christian more than an hour kind of understands that. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. And when we say that, we're not trying to say we're the only Christian station. It's just part of our tagline. So actually, it's part of the tagline for the show, so you can get over that. That won't hurt you. You can reach us in the following way, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Had a trivia, had a praise report. We always love that. And you're always welcome to call and just say howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. You can reach me at david@hemustincrease.org. Plus, there's a form fill out right on the website. So you can call the show. You can do it through the website. You can do it a couple of different ways. Let's give a shout out to Johnny and what he just did. So let's give a shout out to Men of God Moving.
Well, we're moving on.
Probably one of the best songs we have. Just saying, just, you know, that's why I got to do something for Kimberly, because her song, you know, the my house is a very, 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 it's just like you're just like at a John Mellor Coogan Glenn or one of those, and like, We have to work on that. Anyway, Metagod Moving, metagodmoving.com. Their phone number, 817-707-7672. That's 817-707-7672. You can reach them. If you're a Facebook person and you're like, hey, yeah, I'd love to see what they got going on Facebook, you just type in Men of God Moving. Don't forget, Johnny is willing to share his testimony. So if you're a person in a church and you're thinking that'd be a cool testimony for people to hear at our church, at our Bible study, whatever the case may be, you can either contact the show at hemustincrease.org or get in touch with Johnny at menofgodmoving.com. He's opening up his heart to the Lord, opening the doors for him, speaking and sharing and teaching Bible studies. And I think you're doing the first Bible study in the retirement things. In the last couple of weeks, right?
Yes, we are.
Good for you.
Amen, brother.
I'm very happy for you. I want you to know that. I think it's cool that the Lord's working in your life. And I'm glad that I get to be a part of it. And then I get to hold it over your head for the rest of your life. It's fantastic. All right. What, did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
My wife did say my filter was not working very good. Okay. All right. I want to talk about something that's really kind of bizarre, but you have to bear with me. It's important. And it came across, as you guys know, let me tell you what happened. So I had to get a new flash drive. So I got a flash drive the other day. Didn't go to the best place to get it, but I got a flash drive for as least as I could get it. I think that pretty much explains where I went. And I got a 128 gig flash drive. And put the stuff on it yesterday. I had 80 gigs of PDFs, papers, and some audio and some video. If you want to know, 80 gigs is roughly about 1.4 million sheets of paper if you're just doing paper. Now, mine's not all paper, but it is about 300,000 sheets of paper. I always thought I had a lot of notes, but I found out yesterday I have a lot more than I need to or that I'll ever use. And one of the things that I do is I'll go across some of those notes from time to time randomly. And just ask the Lord to lead me, and I'll open up, and oh, that's a good one, but yeah, not connecting. But this one I did, and so I want to kind of share what it taught. So it was very simple. So when there was a gospel movement, there was this time where Stephen went out to the people, and if you'll remember this guy named Simon, who was a sorcerer, he was enamored with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being given, laying down with hands. Well, Peter and James, had went to see him, to see the people that this evangelistical situation was happening in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, and then this guy, offered money to get the power to be able to dispense the Holy Spirit. Remember that guy said, give me money so when I pray for people, they too will receive the Holy Spirit. Because people think they can buy the power of God and the kingdom of God, and you can't do that. But Peter's response was kind of a fascinating response. We don't talk about it a lot, and I want to just key on it for a second. In Acts chapter 8, verse 23, his response was basically, you know, your request and your money and you are going to perish. This was a bad call. He said it in a better way than you and I would say it on the air. And then he said this, "For I see you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Now, he didn't say this to a guy that didn't believe that this stuff was true. There's a lot of people think, well, he was a sorcerer, and he was known as Simon the Great, Simon the Sorcerer. It's like, nah, it doesn't say he didn't believe that it worked or that it was true. But when Peter read his mail, which is a nice Christian way of saying, looked right into him, he said, look, dude, you're poisoned by bitterness, and you're bound by iniquity. And some people, Christian people, can be poisoned by bitterness. And the idea that, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm not poisoned by bitterness. The fact that you're still mad about something 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, proves that you are poisoned by bitterness. I mean, it just proves it. And you can try and, you know, this theology here, this theology. Dude, you're still mad. It's 20 years ago. Okay? 20 years ago, 2 decades. And that tells you I got some poison in me. And you don't have to keep that in you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That anger that you have, I mean, my wife challenged me just yesterday. Oh, Dave, you're still mad about this. And she's talking about something that was years ago. And I'm like, she might be right. But if I hang on to that, it just poisons me. And maybe you had a disappointment when you were growing up. Maybe you were 15. Maybe you were 20. Maybe you had a bad experience in high school or college or in your a marriage or with children or with parents. And it just makes you mad. And all I'm saying is you don't have to stay there. Because if you stay in that mad place, you are actually being a slave to that past. It has a mastery over you. And that type of slavery takes your actual life away. I mean, from the inside out. And you don't have to be bound by that. You don't have to be mad. You don't have to look up to God and say, I'd have done it different. You can just say, help me heal in this area. Because I never got it. I never dealt with it. And it's just really bugging me. And anytime that area comes up, I kind of freak. And just be honest about it. Let me pray real quickly. Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus that those of us who have poison inside of us because of bitterness, because of past hurts, because of things that have happened that either were beyond our control or we just didn't like the way it came out, and that we're hanging on to that, Lord, help us to let go and just let your Holy Spirit fill us in those wounded places. And let the cross of Jesus Christ, the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, bring to death the bitterness and to life mercy, forgiveness, grace, kindness, compassion. There's some people out there that really have a hard time in this. And you're even blaming God. And it's like, that's not the way to go. The way to go is to let this go. Let that poison get out of your system. And allow the grace and the mercy and the comfort and the joy of the Most High to take the place of the bitterness and the poison. Try that. Pray that. Believe with me. Father, we lift these things to you for every one of those people. They agree with me and I with them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What do you think? That was intense.
That was intense.
That was intense. Boy, and I don't like camping, and there it was intense. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Probably looking at expository. We'll see. But I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.